We are at the very bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. We're smack in the middle. We kind of get cut off at the very end. But the Gemara was comparing the curse of Achia Shiloni and the bracha of Bilam. It's comparing the curses to the bracha. Again, Bilam compared us to cedar, to Erez, and Achia Shiloni compared us to a reed in the water. And the Gemara is pointing out that the reed, though the winds blow it and it moves back and forth, when the wind stops, it kind of stays in its position. It doesn't get overturned. I'll read that inside one more time. This part, the wide line. We'll start from the wide line. Makana zeh. Again, wide line. First, the wide line is Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, but 7 lines from the bottom of the page. Makana zeh omei b'makom mayim. This kana, this reed, it stands in water. V'gizo machlif, and its stalk can you know, replace itself. If it dies, it regenerates itself. V'shar sham Reuben, and it's got a lot of roots. V'afilu kol ruchos shebolam, bo and its noshes bo. Even if all the wind in the world blows at it, emazizos osam makomo, it does not uproot. It does not make it leave its place. Rather, it kind of sways with the crowd. It goes with the crowd. The mamoa ruchos, when the wind dies down, when it's silent, amara kana b'mkomo. The kana is backwards, started from. That's the curse of Achia Shiloni. Had a bracha attached with it. We compared us to reeds of the sea. But Bilam Rasho, in his bracha, birchan be'erez, he gave us a bracha that we are like a cedar tree. Shenemar ki'arazim, as we read in last week's parasha, we are like the cedar trees. This erez is not naturally in a place of water. And its trunk, its bark, if it dies, it's not going to regenerate itself. Its roots aren't so plentiful. If many winds would blow, it would not move, it would not budge. But if the strong southern wind would come along, Okarto bofachto upon it would uproot it and it would flip it on its face, on its head. Lo, not only that, now back to, again, looking back at the kana, the reed, that the kana, the reed, merited that we'd use it as a quill, lichtobo sefer Torah, neviim uksuvim. We write Tanakh with a quill. So that's the bracha of a kana. So here we see that the curse of Achia Shiloni, the example he brought down was better for us even, and the blessing that Bilam gave us compared us to cedar. Okay. Bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, 3 lines to the bottom, so we kind of got to the last time. Tan Rabbanan. Lo'olam yihei adam rach kikaneh, lo'yei kasha ki'erez. The person should always be rach. He should be soft. He should be, he should be, go with the flow, like a reed, and don't be so stiff. Don't be so, like, tough, like a cedar tree. And we'll see a story where you see this idea. Masa shabar Rabbi Lazar bar Shimon mimigdal gedor. That was the name of a place. He came, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon came, he came back from a place called Migdal Shgedor, Mibes Rebbe. He was with his Rebbe there, and he was coming back from his Rebbe's house. By a Rachel al Chamur, he was riding on a donkey, Matail al Sfas Nahar. He was strolling, he was freely and in a relaxing fashion, kind of going by the riverbank. Samach Simcha Gedola. He was very happy. He had a great day of learning, great period of time learning with his Rebbe. He started to become full of himself. He started to get a little arrogant. Nation Lama Torah because he learned Torah, felt good about himself, and he started to get to his head. So what happens next? Top of Chafma base. This domino Adam Echad Hashem has a person come towards him, encounter him, who was very, very ugly. According to Rashi and Tosfos as well, this is really Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi comes along. And he's in a very, very ugly looking person. Amar lo. And this person is Eliyahu Navi, but again, at that point, it was unknown who this person was, just a stranger, says to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, he says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. How you doing, Rebbe? Velo hichzer lo. And the Rebbe did not respond directly to the question, but rather, the Rebbe says, Amar lo, Reika, empty one. Kam mechur oso ish. How ugly this person, meaning you, are. Shema kol b'nei ircha mechuarim k'moscha. Is everyone as ugly as you are? Now, that sounds like a very strange back and forth dialogue between the Rav And this is the innocent person. And the point over here, and there are many people who explain, you know, try to explain a little better so it doesn't look as bad as it does look to us right now. But this looks pretty bad to us. And again, some people explain that it means that his the way he looked was a sign of his righteousness or lack thereof. Even though we had in the past, if you remember in Titus, we had discussed someone who's ugly beforehand. Remember this discussed by someone who's ugly? Someone who's ugly, we said that the uglier you are, the more likely you are to be a tzaddik and to learn because you're not so fixated on your own physical appearances. Anyways, he was so full of himself that he made this nasty comment to this person. He says, everyone as ugly as you in your city? I'm a low. So the one line, the zinger that this guy gives back to Rabbi Shimon is, Ein yodei, I'm not sure if they're all as ugly as I am. El lech v'omor l'uman sha'asani kama mechuar klizeh sha'asita. Why don't you go and tell the craftsman who fashioned me how ugly the kli that he made was? Meaning, why don't you go tell God? You know, he blew that one. He really messed that one over. Now, that's a pretty bad comment to receive. And all of a sudden, you know, this Rav Lozman Rishimo, who was like chilling beforehand, was all excited, he learned a lot of Torah, and he started to come full of himself, quickly was brought down to earth. Once he realized that he had said something that was terribly wrong, he came out from his donkey and he prostrated himself. He bowed down to the person in front of him. I've made you suffer. Like the word inoy, I've made you suffer. Macholi, forgive me. I was wrong. Amar lo, and the man says back to Rabbi Shimon, Eini macholcha, sh'telech le'uman sh'asani, va'omer lo, ka'amachor klizeh sh'asita. I won't forgive you and tell me, I'll only forgive you when you go to the craftsman who made me, and you point out how ugly and clean he made. Hold on a second. I'm a tayal acharav ad shigia le'iro. So this Rav Lozman Rishimu was following, was going after this person. He kept on following, trying to beg him for forgiveness until he finally got to his town. His own town, Rav Lozman Rishimu's own town. Yatsu b'na'iro likra. So the people of the town came to greet him. Vayu omrim lo shalom lecha Rebbe, Rebbe, Mori, Mori. And everyone came out. Oh, look who's here. Rebbe's here. Rebbe's here. Mori's here. Mori's here. And they were speaking so lovingly, but it was Rabbi Shimon. Amar Lahem, this man who originally refused to forgive him, tells the crowd, Lemiatem Kor Rabbi Rabbi, who are you sitting there talking to and giving such praise? Amar Lo, Lazesh Talach Recha, the person who's behind you. This guy behind you is a chasher person. Amar Lahem, he said back to him, Imze Rabbi, if that's who you're calling Rabbi, Al Yirbu Kamosa B'Yisrael. I'll give a bracha or a curse, what you want to say. But there shouldn't be many of these in the among your people in Israel, among our people in Israel. Amru lo b'deima. Why are you saying that? What's the issue? I'm going to say back to them. Kach v'kach asali. Told them the whole story. Amru lo. They said back to him. Afal pichein mecholo. Even though this happened, forgive him anyways. Shadim gadol b'torahum. He's a great man. He made a mistake. Clearly, he felt terrible what he did. It was wrong what he did. But forgive him. Amru lo. He says back to them. Bishvilchem harini mochelo. For your in honor of you, the townspeople, I will forgive him. As long as he cuts out his business, he doesn't make it something that he's doing on a regular way. And that point, Rabbi Shimon came and he expounded and he said the line we ended off with the prior Gemara with, a person should always be soft. I mean, be relaxed. Don't be so stiff. Be relaxed like a reed. Don't be so tough like an erez. And that's why the reed merited to become the quill. The Chobo Sefer Torah filled in mezuzos. Now again, over here, what made him say he should be rach? Was it the fact that he himself was nasty? The fact that the person who he met with was tough on him? It's unclear, but the bottom line of the story is that a person should be more understanding, more appreciating other people around him, and that's what we learn out from this story. Yes, for now, what do you got?
How would he be like soft in this story? Like go with the flow, like a compliment to him?
Two options. Option number one would have been the Rebbe wouldn't have been so like nasty. Meaning someone comes looks different than you, he looks different than anyone. He looks different, and you know, go with it. Like okay, like don't point that out. That's option one. Option two, it could have been about the Talmud. Could have been about the Talmud that that he was very tough on him, that he stood strong and he was very tough. Eventually he gave in. I imagine it's more about him than about the Talmud. I can't imagine him insulting the Talmud after the whole story. It's probably more about himself, my guess. Avi just has to say that. That's a huge thing of Poland Springs. My gosh. It's intense. How do you pick the thing up even?
Bro, on a hot day, something very important I realize is that if you walk around with a bottle like this, okay, you have a little bottle, but you got to set a high standard for yourself to make sure you're drinking. So I start with one of these in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. How do you even lift that thing up? Okay. Back to the Gemara.
Archgirl says that it's talking about, like, the Rav who spoke to the ugly man, that he was, like, that he shouldn't have been so...
Yeah, I can't imagine that he would be insulting the guy again. I mean, it doesn't make sense that he would say one liner back at him after what happened. That's my guess. Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, also, so, is that yeah, what do you got, the Gabe? Fact that...
Oh, sorry, Aaron, what do you got? Yeah, Aaron, you're middle.
The fact that just because he's, like, a person of great Torah knowledge, like, does that mean that he should, like, why is that the, like, reason for...
Why should forgive him?
Yeah.
Excellent question. No one was excusing his actions. No one said, oh, you know, pretend like what he did was okay. They were just saying he did something wrong, admittedly. He's apologizing to you over and over again. In honor of his Torah, at least forgive him. Not, maybe not in honor of his mitzvah, right, but in honor of his Torah, forgive the man at least. Gabe, you had a question, Gabe, or no?
No, I'm good.
Okay. We're at the two dots. Says the Gemara, Dikain Eir, Sheesh, Bad, Devar, Mapolis. If you have a city that had a pestilence, or that it had like a caving in of the walls of the city or some of the houses, we're going to analyze what kind of caving in of walls demand us to jump into the final stages of a fast. You go right into the straight to the heart of the fast of those final seven. Tanur Rabbanan, my Polish Umber, we describe this caving in, this avalanche of homes, whatever it is, Briot below Briot. It's only healthy walls. And not weak walls. I mean, a weak wall collapses. That's not a sign of something you have to fast for. You should have better architecture in your home. But if it's healthy, it's a strong wall, then we say you have to go straight to the seventh, the seven final fasts. And then we say here, Shein Ruis Lipol, below Ruis Lipol. Those walls that are not about to fall, as opposed to those that are fitting and ready to fall. So Gemara points out that those two statements sound like they're the same thing, right? Says Gemara, Hai Nihu Ruyos Lipol. Sorry. Hai Nihu Brios, Hai Nihu Shein Ruyos Lipol. What, you know, this is Brios, meaning healthy, is the same thing as not fitting to fall. And also, Hai Nihu Ruyos, Hai Nihu Ruyos Lipol. And things that are weaker are the ones that are fitting to fall. Why did the Gemara give a second statement there? It should have said, again, healthy and versus strong walls versus weak walls. Why bring in fitting to fall and not fitting to fall? That sounds like it's a repetition of the first line we have. Where it says low, it's not exactly repetition. I'll tell you, Tzricha, we need to say that second set of examples of Ruyos Lipol, in Ruyos Lipol, the Naflu Machmas Govayu. Let's say it fell because it was tight. It wasn't properly, it wasn't well planned, and it was got too high. They're very strong, the strong walls, but they're also Ruyos Lipol. So if the walls would fall in that case, you would not fast for it. Because that was, even though it was very strong walls, they were walls that were only a matter of time until they actually collapsed. Inami, alternatively, the Kaiman Aguda Denara, strong walls that were by the riverbank. By the riverbank, and therefore we know when you have water, it's very moist, so the foundations get eaten away, they get rotted, and a strong wall is going to collapse. So the fact that it's strong does not mean it's in Roy Lipol. So we said strong and in a Roy Lipol. That's you need both those things in order to jump into these very intense fasts. Kiahi Ashisa, there was this Ashisa that was a wall, Ru'ua, there was a very weak wall. The Havi bin Arda, this place called Arda, there was this very weak wall that we thought was going to collapse. The Havi Khalid Rabbi Shmuel Tuta. Rabbi Shmuel would not walk next to it or under it, really, but next to it. Avagav, the Kaim of Asr, place Arshin, even though it had been in the city for 13 years. And it hadn't fallen yet, they still felt like it's only a matter of time. And therefore, they would always walk around it, not walk near it. Yom Echad, one day, Ikla Rav Ada Bar Abba Lassam. Rav Ada Bar Abba, we'll soon see, was a big tzaddik. And he came to Narda, he came to the town. Armelish, and Shmuel Rav and Rav Ada Bar Abba are walking together. And they're walking right by the wall. So Armelish, Shmuel, the Rav, Shmuel says to Rav, Nesein Mar Nakif. Why don't we should go and go around? We shouldn't go near this wall. This is a dangerous wall. Amarlei lo tzrichno ha'idna. You don't need to walk around today. You know why? We have a big tzaddik with us. The ikar of adibar ava. V'hadan, he's with us. The nafesh zchusei lo mistafina. He's got a lot of zchus, a lot of merits on his half. I'm not worried. The wall's going to fall on us. Meaning we have him, and I'm not worried that the wall is going to be, God forbid, is going to collapse on us. Rav Huna havalei ahu. Sorry, we'll stop here for a second. I want to tell you a quick story, if you don't mind. There's a story in Mishpacha Magazine many years ago. I may have mentioned to you as well in the past, but it's not related to our Gemara at all. It was one time, you know, back after 9/11, I'm sure even today, there were a lot of air marshals that started flying on flights with people. And one time, this big Chashav Rav was sitting on the plane right soon after 9/11. Therefore, people were like a little bit more on edge. They were a little nervous about, who's on the plane with them, what could go wrong. And this guy sees this huge, built Marine haircut guy next to him, and he's like, obviously that's the air marshal. He knows that's the air marshal, and he has a conversation with him, and this time they're schmoozing about life, not about air marshals, but about life. And when they finally touched down and they went to get their bags from the luggage, so the guy who's the air marshal and the Rav are both waiting for their bags. So the Rav says to the guy, I can't believe this. They make air marshals like you wait like people like me for their bags. Where's the respect? So the guy goes, I'm not an air marshal. What are you talking about? I'm just a regular. I look good. I'm fit. I eat well. I got a nice haircut recently, but that's all I got. I'm not an air marshal. And the Rav says back to me, like, it's so crazy. I can't tell you how comfortable I felt sitting next to you on the plane, knowing I was next to the air marshal. And the guy says back to him, that's so funny, Rabbi. I felt the same thing when I was sitting right next to you. How lucky I was next to you in the flight that I knew I'd be protected because you were in the flight with me. So people who are big tzaddikim, who are chasher people, they in fact do carry a level of people. People have confidence and trust when someone near them is a tzaddik. So they, Rav Adar Ava was a big tzaddik. Rav and Shmuel were very comfortable walking in place they didn't normally walk because they had this Rav Adar Ava next to them. The Gemara goes on another story. Rav Huna, havalei ahu chamra b'ahu beis ra'iya uboy lifnuye. Rav Huna had chamra, had some wine. He had some wine in this in a house that was ra'iya, that was very weak. He wanted to clear it out. He wanted to get rid of the wine in this home before the house collapsed. But he was nervous to go in. So I lay the Rav Adabar Ava, again, our big tzaddik Rav Ava comes back to the scene. He brings him, awesome, he brings him over there. He has Rav Adabar Ava come meet him at the house without telling him why. And Mashche Bishmaisa, and he was kind of engaging in conversation with him and learning with him, Adipanye, until he cleared out all of the, until he cleared out all of the wine that was found in this home. Now, Basha Denafik, when they finally both walked out, Nafal Besa, the house collapsed. Meaning, they got all the wine out, the two rabbis walked out of the house, and the house collapsed. At this point in time, Irgish Rav Adbar Ava, Rav Adbar Ava realized, he realized, one second, he had me in there, I was like his shomer, his guard, Ikbid, he was very upset. Why was he upset? Because he held Savrala Kiha Dam Rav Yanai, because Rav Adar Ava held like Rav Yanai said, Lolam Al Yamud Ad Makam Sakana, Vayomer Osin Li Nes. A person should never go somewhere that's dangerous and just assume that Hashem will perform a miracle on his behalf. Shema in Osin Lo Nes. Maybe he won't perform a Nes on his behalf. That's option one. And Deem Tim Salomar Osin Nes. If he does perform a Nes on his behalf, Menachalo Bizri Yosav, that Nes will detract from your zchuyos and shemayim. I mean, you're cashing in some of your zchuyos in order to be saved in this world. We believe, again, when a person has a miracle happen for him, that miracle might end up kind of, you got to cash in some of your shemayim points to get you back into this world and not face whatever is natural to have happened had you not been a big tzaddik. So he's very upset that this Rav Huna did that to him. So Rav Chana asks, Mikra, where do you see in a pasuk this idea, this concept, that a person might lose some schuyos from miracles that happened for him? The same as in the pasuk, "Katonti mikol hachasadim u'mikol ha'emes." That when Yaakov is going back to greet Esav, so he's very afraid. Why is he afraid? Because he says, "Katonti, I'm less now," meaning I have less schuyos from all the chasadim and all the emes, all the chesed you did for me, Hashem, you took care of me. I'm afraid now when I meet Esav, I'm meeting him with much depleted bank account in Shemayim. And maybe what my bank account is now is not going to be worthy of being protected from Esav, and I'm going to get killed by him. So we see over here from this pasuk that Yaakov had a fear. He was worried that katonti, that my bank account had lessened because of all the chesed he did on my behalf. Ronan, you have a question or no? No, okay. Back in the Gemara. Now, we're busy over here describing Rav Adra Avas is tremendous tzaddik, and we have so many schilos happen because of him. Who was he? What was exactly his greatness? So my hobby, Ubi, Rav Adra Ava, what were the events that led to Rav Adra Ava being called a great person and being called a tzaddik, like we have him in the Gemara? Kihad the Imar, from that which we stated, Shalu Talmidav Rav Adra Ava. So the students of Rav Adra Ava one time asked him a question. This is Gemara Megillah as well. Why did you deserve to live such a long life? They asked him. He said to them the following things. Now, this may sound like it's bragging. He's not bragging. He's explaining. He said, "Miyamai lo ikpati b'sof beisi. I never got angry in my home. I never screamed at anybody in my house. Lo tzaadi b'fnei misha gadlimani. I never walked in front of someone who was greater than I was. B'chachma. This gear stands the word b'chachma. Greater than I was in wisdom. And he always gave proper respect to people who were greater than him. Lo yirharti m'vos b'shukotunafos. I never thought about Torah learning when I was in dirty places, which would be like, hey, I did that either. I did that also. I also think Torah learning when I'm dirty places. So we got that one at least, right? Anyways, back to our Gemara. Lo lachti dal amos lo Torah lo tefillin. I never walked for amos without studying Torah or without wearing my tefillin. Lo yashati beis medrash lo shinas kevel shinas arai. I never slept in the beis medrash. Not a deep sleep, not a quick power nap. Lo sashti b'tikalas chavirai. I never rejoiced over the failures of my friends. When they messed up, I never got happy about it. Lo karati l'chaveirai v'hachinaso. I never called my friends by their nicknames. V'amilah, and some say v'chanichaso, by their last names. I never called my friend names that were in his, you know, like we have before the Gemara, Ben Amram. I never called someone Ben Amram. I respect towards people. And that's why he was great. These are some examples of why he had that status that he had, that people could count on him to save them from falling buildings. Yes, Gabe, what do you got?
I know it's not preferable to sleep in a basement, but aren't you, like, isn't it not like a terrible thing, like if you have nowhere to sleep?
Yeah, these aren't necessarily crimes even. Some of these are not crimes, meaning it's just that it's a higher level of cover, meaning he didn't want to sleep there at all. Not that a person is, certainly people who are in the basement matters learning, like in yeshiva, put your head down. And people back in the day, you sleep there all the time. They would actually lie on benches in the back. I said, they go when they had no place to go, they go to the shuls. Nowadays, even people who are learning the basic matters and learning like yeshiva bachrim, you probably take a quick power nap for 10 minutes. Certainly, it's allowed. They had a greater level of, he had a greater level of kavod than is required, is demanded. Yeah, Renan, what do you got?
What was the first reason he said?
I never got angry in my house. Like, padati b'sof beisi. Like, machmid is very strict. I was not tough in my house. I was not so, I wasn't full of anger. Okay. Back in the Gemara. Amli Rava l'Raf bar Papa. Rava says to Rafram bar Papa, Lemlan mar mehani mili mal yasad havi avid ravuna. Can you tell us some stories, maybe, he asked Rav Papa, of some great stories of maybe Ravuna, a great person. So Amrle, he says back to him, bien kuse lo dachiruna. I don't remember about him when he was younger, but b'sivuse, like a saba, when he was older, dachiruna. I have some good stories when he was older about Ravuna. Choyoma de Eva, avu mafkinle b'goharka de dava. Every Yoma De'eva, which means literally means a cloudy day, but the way Rashi over here explains it is a day was cloudy that would have like strong winds. And people were afraid that buildings or walls that were a little weaker might collapse. So at any day those strong winds that were coming on, he was mafkinle, he would go out in his goharka de dava, in his golden carriage. I mean, he was very wealthy. And you'd imagine a person like this wouldn't be doing the job you're about to hear he's doing right now, but he was a very wealthy guy. And he went in his golden carriage out in the streets, the seer la lekule masa, he would go around. He would make svivuvim. He would go around to the whole city. B'chol ashisa the havis riyasa, any wall that he found to be weaker, havisasula, he would then knock it down so it wouldn't fall through the wind. And imevshar lemara banila, if the master who owned that wall could rebuild it, then he would later on. The lawyer of Sharon, the master, couldn't rebuild it. He wasn't able to. He had no means, whatever it was. He just wasn't around. But he built it himself, meaning Ravun himself would rebuild the wall he knocked down to protect the city. That's part one of what he did. Every afternoon on an Arab Shabbos, Mali Shabbos means Arab Shabbos on Friday, he would send someone, a messenger, to the marketplace. Any vegetables that were left by the ginai, the farmer who was selling his wares, zavinle, he would buy them. The shadile lenara, he would then throw them into the river. That's also what he did. Now, the question, why is that a good thing? But later, why didn't he give it to poor people? So the answer is, because sometimes they might rely on him giving them charity before Shabbos, and they're not going to buy themselves. And what happens in the end is nothing's left in the market, and they have no food. Where it's okay, but why throw him in the river? At least let him give it to the animals. Let him give it to the animals at least. So kasavar, because Rav Huna must have held, machal adam ein machin lebehema. That food for people should not be given to animals. It's beneath the cover. I want my father's a big animal lover. I also like animals, but it's a bizoy for the food to be. Looks like Hashem gives a great thing and he wants you to eat it, and you kind of chuck it and give it to the dogs, give it to the animals. Which again, you know, many people who have pets are very happy to do. But it sounds like it could be called a bizoy of Ochlin, that it was made for you, and you Hashem Baruch Hu made it for man, and you kind of just like cast it aside. Before I get to obvious questions, we want to know lolis de meklal. So why not just not buy it at all? Don't buy it at all, and then why go to the marketplace at all if you're gonna have to throw it in the river? So nimseis machshil us in lavon, because in the future you might be machshil the poor people. Why? Machshil means make them stumble. Because if this guy had leftover food that no one bought in the end, he might give less next time, bring next time to sell, and in the end of the day, people needed it. Just that week, no one had it, but people needed it, and now people are not going to have enough food for Shabbos. Question, Avi Prak, what do you got?
Yeah, I understand the point of not giving food to your animal, but and I'm sure like everybody does this when there's like a dog at the table and you have like extra food that like you don't want. Is that really a problem?
It's a good question. It's not quote l'alacha. It's Rav Huna felt. Rav Huna felt. Here, look over here. It's interesting, Rashi. Look at Rashi. Ein machin la'osam behema. Look at interesting Rashi. He says, "Mishuim bizoy ochlin." I mentioned before because it's the ochlin. It looks like your boy betova shishpia kadosh baruch hu b'olam. Looks like you are kicking away, rejecting the kindness Hashem gives to give people food, and you're like giving it to an animal instead of people. So we love our animals, but it's still like they have animal food for a reason. People food is supposed to be people. Now you're treating this thing I was giving to people. And giving it to, like, it's not so important giving it to the animals instead. That's shot number one. But if you were eating your leftovers, you give it to the animal after you're done, I don't think it's a problem at all. Another thought Rashi brings down is no, really he threw it into the river. And the river, it was a vegetable or a fruit. It didn't get ruined in the river. The river kind of like took it downstream. And then it washed ashore and someone else ate it there. Another person would find it and eat it there. So that's why I gave it to people instead of an animal, because there was ways that it could be given to people instead. But you're right. If you have an animal and you give them leftovers, that's one thing. Imagine what happened if someone gave you, picture this up. Imagine that, I give you a cupcake for dessert. You got my house on Shabbos and you go to give it to my dog. So I'd be like, well, it's for you. I'll be disappointed you gave it away to an animal. Or you're walking by the street, I give you something, you walk and you throw it to the animal on the side. The host who gave it to you feels like, I don't understand. You don't want to eat my food, you give it to an animal instead? So same thing when it comes to the host being a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is also a host. He also gives us things. It's for us not to not treat things the proper way would be considered a problem. Again, if someone would make something special for you and then you throw it to a dog afterwards, so that could be frowned upon by the person who gave it to you. And certainly, I know in my house for sure, if I would give you if I had a dog or an animal and you would take my wife a steak from Shabbos, from the Shabbos and not that you were done with it, but you took it to give it over to an animal, I'd be like, we give animal food. We don't need to give them steak. That's what's really man food, people food. Gabe, what do you got, Gabe?
What are the odds of there being an animal in your home besides pigeons outside? Any chance of that?
Okay, Gabe, what's your question, Gabe?
Yeah, just about the line that we said, maybe you shouldn't have bought it all, then it would lead to them not having the right amount.
Yeah.
But if they didn't have the right amount that day, like if there's extra, that means they didn't make the right amount. Maybe.
No, but we rather have extra than let's say at the end next time you give one bushel less because it wasn't all bought up. So what happens is more people come to buy and then they don't have. It's not that it ran out. I'd rather you bring that much next time than shortchange it and someone loses out is the point.
But was this like a one time thing or was this like every week?
Every week you would do it just in case.
I'm saying if there's extra every single week, then obviously it would make it too much.
Well, no, he was bringing whatever he had in his farm, but he didn't leave any. Whatever he brought, he wanted to be sure it always he brought enough so people would have enough. But you're right, meaning it could be brought too much each time, but sometimes it was exactly the right amount. We'd always rather err that way than the other way. Okay, the last part of here, what we see that he would do, and then we'll stop. The Kiavile Milsa da Susa, when he had, Milsa was like medicine. When he had medicine, back to Rav Huna still. Havimali Kuza. Vitali, this word demaya is taken out because it's not really water, but it's a jug of water. Kuza is a jug. He would fill the jug of water with the medicine. Vitali lay b'seif for the besa. He would hang it on a frame, the door frame of his home. Vavra, he would say, call the boy lay seif lishko. Whoever wants to, come and take. It was like a free, free pharmacy. Vigda Amri, and some say, milsa the shivsa havi gummer. That he was learned. Gummer means learned. He was learned in the milsa the shivsa. According to Rashi, Shivsa was a mazik, was a spiritual entity that would hurt people who did not wash their hands before they ate. So he knew this koach of this Shivsa, this shade. Vavimana Kuza Demayan, he would place a jug of water, the Dali lay, and he would hang it outside. But Amar, he would say, Kol Tzarech Lesi V'Leil, Dali Stocking, whoever needs it, come. And come and get it. Do not, better than put yourself in danger, avoid the danger of this shade, Shivsa. And finally, last part, Kihava Karach Rifta, when he would break bread, this is back to Rav Huna still, he would open his door up, like we have in Pesach. Vamar, he would say, Kol man tzarech lezvechol, right? Kol tzarech lezvechol, we have this in the Seder night. Whoever wants, whoever needs, come and join. Come and partake of my meal. Again, Rav Huna was, we mentioned before, was very wealthy. Amar Rava. Rava now says, after hearing this story, because his Rava had asked for some good stories, and after hearing all these stories, he said, Kulu Matsina Mikaimna, I could have done all these. Kulu, all these, I found that I could have been Mikaim as well. Levar Meha, except for this last one, the one about the food, whoever wants to come can come. Lo Matsina Lameva, that I couldn't do. Tapachaf Alef Malef, Mishum Dinefishe B'nei Chela Demechuza. Because there are so many, Nefish means so many B'nei Chela, so many, poor people, says Rashi. So many means soldiers, but really means like there are soldiers amount of poor people. So many poor people, the mechuzah in this town that would have eaten me at a house and home, I wouldn't have anything left to eat at the end. We'll stop over here, and we'll continue later with this tomorrow. Shvach boys.